Hope you're having a great Thursday. Tomorrow, guys, we are at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Special broadcast of Dukes and Bell. Mike's back tomorrow. So make sure you come by and hang out with your boys. We'll be broadcasting live from 2 to 6, checking out and getting you ready for Game 2 of the NBA Finals and much more as we get ready for another big weekend. Braves and all the things that are going on. Hey, we want to give you a chance right now as we start hour number 2. For a chance to win the Staycation Comfort Giveaway and be one of our winners. I just posted on social media. You can go to ReliableAir.com as they are continuing to give these opportunities away. But it is a $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. So caller number 8 is going to win day at 404-726-0929.
Hey, can I win that? That sounds pretty good.
It's a great giveaway, man. And in this economy, it's a great opportunity for you to get some help. And we want to give you a chance to do that. So, yeah,
404. You know what I paid for gas today?
I don't want to know.
No, it's actually
it's good. What?
$3.77.
Oh, that is good.
That's the lowest I've seen.
Yeah, that is good. Because I'm tired of seeing these fours.
In fours in the it, here it's
yes.
Five.
Yeah. I will drive around till I'm almost empty. Okay. to try to find a bargain.
He's riding around. He's getting it.
That's it. I'm just trying to ride around. But 404-726-0929. Caller 8's going to win that. Again, thanks to our friends at Reliable Heating and Air. If you're just tuning in, Chris wants the Braves and Double A. That's Alex Anthopoulos. To shore up this thing, despite the fact that we are 22 games over 500, Chris Sale going for the sweep tonight. He's 8-3. Another Cy Young Award for this dude?
Should be 10-3, by the way.
He's been great.
Because they were those two starts where they literally didn't score a run for him.
He's been great, man. And Chris said he's keeping a folder. We'll get back into that conversation because he says there are a few things he wants to see addressed. And not later, now.
Something to ponder, Carl.
That's
all.
That's the folder.
That's all.
Something to ponder.
It's the something to ponder.
Okay. So we'll dive back into that. Your thoughts on the NBA Finals as well. Numbers have been good, by the way, for the NBA playoffs. Numbers have been good, and I expect this to not change. If the Spurs can make it a series. Look, if they go down 0-2 or it's 3-0, you're not watching because you know what's going to happen.
Well, the Western Conference Final, the irony was, Carl, it went 7.
Yeah.
But the games kind of stunk. It was back and forth in terms of blowout. So, yes, you got the full experience, but the individual games themselves, it was like one team would score 90 and the other team would score 120 every night. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, it was weird. It was almost like we're going to handle business on our home floor and then we're going to handle business on our home floor until the Spurs handled business 6 and 7. But we'll get back into that conversation as well. You guys can always find us on social media. We'd love to hear from you. We got some great texts and tweets already in regards to Spurs last night blowing an opportunity and the Knicks. Some Hawks fans are saying, look, I hate to admit it, but I don't mind if the Knicks win because they beat us. And that means they, in fact, were the best team in the NBA this year. And it just looks that way right now. We will see how this shakes out. But to your point, they won by, 10 last night?
Yeah.
And you didn't get all the things you needed from all the other guys. And Brunson, again, 30 points, but it was not a Brunson-type performance where he was very efficient. So we'll see where this goes, man. All right, guys, you can hit us up. Right now, though, we got to get to the NFL in 4th and 1.
Real quick, Carl, before we get into football, I wanted to ask you this because you brought up the Hawks and the Knicks.
Yeah.
I think the score's kind of settled now. It's kind of even. We got them with Trey taking the bow at the Garden and the dice. And then they punked us this year. Is this thing a rivalry next year? Or is the fact that Trey's not here anymore, does that take... They're still chanting bleep Trey Young, by the way.
Which I don't understand.
And he's not even here. He's in Washington.
Yeah.
But is this thing... Do the Hawks have a chip on their shoulder when they play the Knicks?
All right, look, from where I sit, this is how I'm feeling.
And you sit in a pretty privileged position, if I do say so.
This is what I'm feeling right now, okay? And look, I'm about to say this, and some people are going to be like, man, I can't believe you said that. It's a rivalry because they beat the snot out of you. And for me, in the first game, next season against the Knicks. I don't care if they win the chip or not. Somebody's got to get thrown out. After that ass kicking they gave us, Chris, Somebody's got to grab Josh Hart and throw him into the stands.
Mo Gay, you got six.
Okay?
You got six.
Take the fine early, the suspension that comes along with it, but let these fools know we will not tolerate this.
Landale, you got six.
Okay?
Use them.
Is that too much?
Double O, you got six.
That's where I'm at. Then let's go play some basketball. That's how I feel. Now, some of you will be saying, well, didn't Dyson Daniels get thrown out? Yeah, because Dyson didn't want to be at that game. Neither did I.
That was after the fact. That was after the fact, man.
Neither did I.
That doesn't count.
Dyson's walking out past me. I'm like, can I go with you? Can I leave with you? I don't want to be here either watching this
crap.
If
we draft a Daymara, you got six. Use them.
I'm just saying, this is where I'm at. Some of you, it may be too aggressive. Dukes is too aggressive. That's how I feel about this. You ask me if it's a rivalry? Yeah, because they humiliated us. And some people will say, well, it was last season. I don't give a damn.
Well, we humiliated them.
I don't care about that.
Back in the day. So that's why I think it's even right now. I think it's 1-1.
So that's where I'm at. I mean, that's how I want to see the game start. And the Hawks and Knicks are about to tip. And oh, my!
And Steve's going, they've resorted to thuggery.
Yes, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see. First tip, I don't understand why Josh Hart got thrown into the stands. I don't understand it.
He's a dirty, rotten player.
That's exactly right. 404-726-0929. Here's the thing, though. You got to beat him on the court, man. You know, for it to be a rivalry, we have to show up and we have to beat them on the court. But what we realize this year, and I think a lot of NBA fans realize it, regular season sometimes just doesn't mean as much. And when you're playing teams, and what I'm telling you is there are nights where teams show up and you're not going to get what you saw in those playoffs, but you get it in the playoffs. And the teams like OKC the Spurs. Spurs won 62 games this year. You didn't take nights off. Like, this is who we're going to be. We're trying to create a culture and an identity. And I want to see what that's going to be for the Hawks. But, yeah, man, I think it's a rivalry. Is that too much? All right, fair.
Bring it.
404-726-0929. Let's talk about Mr. Unlimited. Russell Wilson officially retires from the NFL. He's joining CBS Sports. Mike and I talked a little bit about this. But he's a Hall of Famer, right? He's a Hall of Famer, right?
Did he play his way out of the Hall of Fame?
How? He did what most veteran guys do. He was chasing at the end.
Carl, he has not been good in a long time. That bottom third of his Pro Football Reference page is ugly.
But didn't he do enough in his prime to get there? And that's, to me, one of the things I've been debating over the last couple of days when I heard this.
Does one get you in anymore?
Well, it was two appearances, and many people will tell you his coaching staff blew it.
Okay, but that's great. If my aunt had hair on her back, she'd be my uncle.
I don't want to hear about it.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to hear about
it. He's got one. He doesn't have two. Does one
get you in
anymore?
He went to two Super Bowls.
Does one get you in anymore? Big Ben's definitely going
in. Well, look, I think one can get you in. Multiples obviously put you in another level. That's the elite of the elites. But
is he top 10 in any statistical category? I don't think he is.
Passing yards? Did he throw for 50,000 yards?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking it up right now. Pro Football Reference page. I would doubt if he's top 10.
37, by the way, retiring to go be basically taking Matt Ryan's spot, to be honest with you. That's what he's going to do on the pregame show on CBS. And look, I think he'll be great.
No, is your answer, by the way.
No, he did not.
40, a tick under 47,000.
Okay, because 50,000 gets you in. Everybody that's had 50,000 yards passing, including Matt Ryan, who I think is going to get in, he may not be a first ballot, is going to get in.
He's got 353 touchdowns for his career.
That's a lot.
That's pretty good. And
that's
only
a lot.
114 picks. That ratio is fantastic.
It is. But that's Russell's MO, right? He didn't, in his prime, he didn't turn the ball over. And his ability, his escapability created more time for him to deliver the ball down the field. Look,
10-time Pro Bowler. I didn't realize that.
He's a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah, he might be.
He's a Hall of Famer. I know it's weird because, again, we get caught up in, oh, he's weird.
His last good season?
2019? 2020?
2021. Yeah, 2021. So he had 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he had like four pretty pedestrian years in a row. to end his career. But the highs were really high.
They were really high. His Seattle years were really good.
How much does it count, if at all, that he's widely unliked?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that kind of gets in the way of what you just laid out about the Pro Bowls and the what he did achieve in his career. I don't know if that should matter. I mean, you know, how he handled Denver was a joke. But what happened was he got an enormous bag, and he was feeling himself.
Yeah, he walked in there and said, I want my own office. Next to Sean Payton,
you know,
and Sean Payton was like, what in the world are you talking about?
So, but you know what? He still has Sierra. Not a bad life for Russell Wilson. Congratulations, man, on a good career.
How's he going to do in TV?
I think he'll do fine. And look, I don't know if people thought Matt was going to be what Matt was.
We knew.
And he was great.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed him. I mean, I'm sure he's enjoying being home with the kids now and this job, but yeah, I thought Matt was great, man. I think he'll be fine. The deal with Russ is, to your point about the whether he's liked or not, I think there's a genuine thing that with Matt Ryan that comes off. And if Russell can do that, then people will dig it. Hey, man, let me hear Jared Verse, because everybody's talking about the trade and everybody wants to know what Myles Garrett thought. What about Jared Verse? What was his honest reaction to being traded?
It caught me by surprise. I was I loved L.A. I loved the coaches, the organization, my teammates, you know, everybody a part of it, the staff, the fans. You know, I loved the whole vibe of L.A., Los Angeles, the Rams, you know, and it was upsetting. I was upset for, you know, a good little bit of time. But when you're an athlete, you understand the nature of business. People, everybody does what they think is best for their business, and, you know, that's the situation that I'm in. I'm happy to be a part of the Browns. You know, I'm happy that they believed in me and they were able to make that trade and bring me here, you know, be with my teammates, be with everybody here, and I truly do believe in everybody in the locker room. But it was upsetting at first, but, you know, you got two choices. You can either work or you can give up, and I ain't never been a quitter.
Okay.
What a good soldier he is, man. Wow. I cracked up at the point where he goes, I'm happy to be a Cleveland Brown. Okay. All right. Well, could you imagine, Carl, you're an ascending star at your position in the NFL.
Keep going.
You're on the best team in the NFL.
I like it.
You're a centerpiece of the defense on the best team in the NFL.
Mm.
And you get traded for the best player at the position in the NFL to Cleveland. Imagine waking up to that text from your agent in the morning. Jared, we got to talk, bud. It sounds like a death in the family. Like, there's been a transaction. I regret to inform you that you have been traded to Cleveland.
Day-Day said a couple of days back that you still feel like he can go there and get his bag and achieve the things
work,
he wants.
Yeah, this can work in his favor in that aspect, I think. Like, you know, from a fan perspective, yes, this looks terrible. Like, when Jared Goff, got traded to the Lions, everybody's like, oh, that's it for him. And then you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he turned around.
Yeah.
So I feel like he won in the sense that he can go there, go out, show and prove that he's worth more money, and Cleveland will either have to pony it up or somebody will. So, yeah, it's a sucky situation because he's not going to win. At least it doesn't look like it.
Day-Day, I got to be honest, Day-Day.
He can go out there and ball out and earn some money.
I don't think he won anything, Carl.
You don't? You don't think so?
He would have gotten paid regardless. You don't think L.A. would have paid him to be their premier edge rusher for the next 8 years?
Might have.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Like, because not only is Cleveland a dumpster fire of an organization, you got this circus at quarterback that you got to deal with now, too. You went from having the MVP in Matt Stafford as your quarterback to Deshaun Watson or Shedeur Sanders? Oh, man.
Well, he did say, you know, even though he wasn't out there yesterday, he said from what he saw, those guys look like guys that are trying to win a Super Bowl.
Again, this guy. This
I'm just
guy,
saying, that's what he said.
This guy has a heck of a PR guy that has trained him up well. From that statement we heard to what Day-Day just said, that is a finely groomed young gentleman right there.
Oh, wow. All right. I didn't realize that, Day-Day. Coming up, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind in about 20 minutes. But when we come back, are they finally on the same page, and what does it mean for the sport? It's Dukes and Bell.
that's not a losing team out there. The way everybody was moving, I didn't get to, you know, get into the team situations today. You know, that's going to be another day. But the way the boys are moving, this isn't a losing team. Nobody's moving around like they're slow, like they're feeling sorry for themselves. People are moving like with intent. Like they are not going to miss the opportunity to play in January, to play in February, to play in that big game.
Sounds like a winner to me, Chris. That's a guy that just got traded in Jared Verse talking about his first day on the job in Cleveland, and cats are running around with their, you know, hair on fire. He's like, look, we're out here practicing. I don't know what you're talking about. He's saying there are winners up there.
Carl, I have a prediction, and it's unfortunate for Georgia fans. I think the Todd Monken hire is going to go down as one of the 10 worst coaching hires of all time.
He didn't last the season?
No.
You think he's done before the season is over?
I think he might be done before their bye week.
Wow. It's that bad, huh?
Yeah. Look, that has unmitigated disaster written all over it.
Monken can be difficult, and we're about to see, you know, look, here's what he does know. He knows his check is guaranteed. So if they do let him go, that's just another coach they'll be paying off. Hi, Kevin Stefanski. But at the end of the day, you may be right about this. Look, they haven't been able to get a lot right. I said this to Mike earlier in the week. I still don't know how Andrew Berry's got a job. He's been there the entire time throughout this course of ups and downs, the decisions that have been made. And obviously, you know, when we talk about Kevin Stefanski, our new head coach now, and the struggles that happened there, Berry had the ear of the owner. It's obvious. And he's still there, and nothing has seemed to be, you know, righting the ship. So you might be right about that, Chris. Look, I can't wait till season rolls around, because a lot of people remember, I think we talked about this day, didn't we? 13 or 14 coaches were either contacted or, you know, half of those guys interviewed and nobody took the job. Todd Monken was like one of the last guys, and he was like, yeah, I'll take it. So,
and there's a reason for that.
We'll see where this goes, man.
Is there a player on the Browns outside of Denzel Ward that you want? Harold Fannin, the tight end, maybe? We had a good year last year.
Ward is a good player.
You don't want Jerry Jeudy.
No.
I'll tell you that.
No, he's washed. It's a good question.
Joe Thomas ain't there anymore.
No, he's not. One of the great offensive linemen. No, it's a good question, man. Look, this is a roster in flux. As we talk about, you know, this is why I think Kevin Stefanski's really happy. I'm being honest. Like, to come to Atlanta and to see what talent he's inheriting and to build on it, and then not to deal with the fiasco that was an owner that basically ruined his tenure there. The decision on Deshaun Watson ruined his tenure. There was nothing he could do after that that would have, you know, made that situation better, because you put yourself financially in a situation you couldn't get out of.
By the way, we need to stop judging a book by its cover. This is what I mean. Kevin Stefanski's last 2 years in Cleveland were a dumpster fire that had nothing to do with him. He is the guy that won two-time coach of the year. He is the guy that worked with Baker Mayfield that helped set the rookie single-season passing touchdown record.
Don't let Baker speak on that.
He is the guy that took Cleveland to the playoffs and won a playoff game. I am so sick and tired of taking phone calls and tweets from Falcons fans who do not want to give this guy a chance because of the last 2 years in Cleveland. It is nauseating, Carl Dukes. He hasn't coached a game yet, and you're ready to throw him out with the bathwater because you don't like the way things ended in Cleveland. Do your homework. As someone once said, Carl, do your research.
That's right.
The guy was up against it in Cleveland, especially with the quarterbacks. He's going to be fine. If you're panicking about Kevin Stefanski at this point, you don't get the memo. You don't get the message of what this Falcons season is going to be about. Kevin Stefanski is the right guy for this job. He's the right guy to take Bijan Robinson to the next level, to take Drake to the next level, to take that offensive line along with Bill Callahan to the next level. And yes, Carl, to take TUA to the next level.
Glad you said it.
He is.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. The pecking order for me when this all went down was, for obvious reasons, I wanted Harbaugh. What he brings,
yeah, duh,
it's a given.
Yeah.
Once that's off the table, we started talking about Stefanski, and everybody was giving the gas face, you know? It was, and I'm like, no, that's not a bad option. I'll be honest with you. And now we know, and I know this for a fact, there were multiple teams interested in Kevin Stefanski. We just happened to beat him to the punch.
You don't win two-time coach of the year in Cleveland by accident.
Yeah.
You don't win a playoff game in Cleveland by accident. You don't help a quarterback set an NFL record for rookies in Cleveland by accident. This guy knows how to coach offense. And you know what the best part is, Carl? Defense?
Oh, we didn't have to worry about it.
We're good.
No, you know what?
We're good.
That's what made his decision very easy. Arthur Blank, I remember we were at the Arthur Blank press conference when they were doing the search. And he was. We asked him specifically about Jeff Ulbrich. And he said, I am going to suggest, which made us all laugh because you're like the owner, that Jeff is kept, right? That his services are retained. And I think that made this job for Kevin Stefanski very easy in the sense that you're right. Defense is coming. Like they've got a guy I can trust. He knows what he's doing. I don't have to worry about that. And I do think, by the way, Jeff Ulbrich's going to get a head coaching opportunity. I don't know if it'll be next year, but let me tell you something. If we are second in sacks again, and this defense takes a jump, and maybe we're a top 10 or 7 type defense overall, I do believe, because you don't have to be one, by the way, to go to the Super Bowl. But you will see his name, I think, among a lot of circles as a potential guy that'll get some run. And he should. The Jets thing, speaking of a disaster, was a disaster.
And he admitted it.
But you know what? I asked this question, and I think we've had this conversation, Turtle. Give me an interim coach that's taken over and then ultimately got the job and went on to great things. It doesn't happen.
No.
It just doesn't. Because when you get those jobs, it's already in turmoil, right? And then you got to understand, this is not your vision. This was the guy who was running it in his vision, and now you're taking it over.
It's the classic Vic Fangio, Wade Phillips.
Yes.
It's those types of guys.
So it's hard, man, when you step in there. And then even if you do win, there's always this reluctant thing to give that guy the job because it's like, well, I don't know. Either way.
Antonio Pierce.
All those guys.
It never works.
All those guys. So
it never works.
But I do think Brick will get that opportunity. 404-726-0929. Don't ask me how we got off on that tangent. I have no idea. But, Chris, I'm glad we did because I'm glad you're saying this because that's how Falcon fans should be feeling. And we were going to talk about college football, and we will, coming up at 4 o'clock.
Well, we got on the tangent because our buddy found himself in Cleveland.
Okay, that's right. Jared Verse, because you played the Verse stuff in Cleveland. Because I was going to say, how the hell did we get here? But I'm glad you feel that way, and I think Falcon fans should feel that way because that is exactly how I feel. I am trusting this, and that's why the Tua thing, you know, because I'm giving him a chance, is real in my mind because I do think coaching still matters. And it's not like Tua's just coming in here and Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees are going, hey, just do what you do. No, we're giving you structure. We're going to help you be the best you can be. And that goes for Michael Penix, too.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I don't care how it looks at the end of the day. You know what I want to do? I want to be in Mercedes-Benz going, touchdown, baby!
Well, the other thing, too, is, Carl, that I think people are failing to take with the weight that it needs to be given. Guys, Matt Ryan and Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees did not get in a room, watch the tape from Tua over the last couple of years and go, he's broken, but he's $1 million, so we'll just bring him in anyway.
That's the perception.
No. You know what they said?
What'd they say?
We can bring back 2023 Tua.
Yep.
Who threw for 4,600 yards and 30 touchdowns.
Speak on it, Turtle. Speak on it.
Led the league in passing. That's what they said. Now, at the time, did I love it? Do I still love it now? No, because I felt like Michael Penix Jr. deserves a fair break. And, Carl, here's the bottom line.
Whoa! Let me ask you something. Hold on. You had me all the way up until that point. All the praise you were giving Tua and all the things you were saying about how this can look deserves a fair chance.
Yeah, he's played 12 games in the NFL and hasn't had a real offensive coordinator.
Deserves?
Or head coach. Yeah, is the 8th overall pick? Yes.
You got to earn your chance.
Okay, but he never got a fair chance to earn it. Is what I'm saying. He was coached horribly, Carl. Horribly. Did you see his mechanics? his footwork, his ability to read defenses by the time he got hurt last year.
Well,
he was a mess.
Okay, so wait a minute. That's my point. You have to earn that opportunity.
And do you remember the money quote, what he said last year?
What?
When he was asked, so Michael, when things are breaking down on the field, do you go to your head coach? Do you go to your coordinator? Do you go to your quarterback's coach? And he was like, nah, man, I just kind of figured things out on my own. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
So, but what I was eventually leading to before you jumped me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're giving him the awards before he's earned it. You're like, well, he deserves.
Well, what I was going to say is.
Hell, I deserve a lot more money.
Don't get me started. Before I was jumped. I was going to say the following.
What?
That unfortunately for Penix, if Tua goes in there and balls out, they're not putting Penix in just for the sake of seeing if he can play or not. Tua's going to keep playing. Make no mistake about that. If Tua wins the job outright or starts because Penix is injured and plays well and the Falcons are 3-1 to start the season.
Why not 4-0? Come on, Turtle.
4-0, whatever it is.
T-U-A.
They're not taking Tua out. Why would they?
No, you don't.
Matt Ryan's here to do one thing, Carl Dukes.
Win. That's exactly right. All right, coming up, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. Also, we will get into some college football conversation because it feels like these two conferences are on the same page. But what's it mean for the big picture of things? What's on Day-Day's mind is next.
Back with you here on Dukes and Bell, 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas, Turtle, in for Mike Bell today, hanging out with Carl and Day-Day. We're going to get to what's going on in Day-Day's world in just a minute here, just to put some finishing thoughts on the Kevin Stefanski and Falcons conversation. Look, we're all pulling for the same thing, right? I mean, we all want the Falcons to do well. We all want Kevin Stefanski to come in here and lead the team. But it almost feels like there's a certain sect, a certain passionate bunch of Falcons fans that because you didn't want him here in the first place, because of the 2-year drought in Cleveland, that you're almost rooting for him to fail off the jump. And I just think that's so unfair, Carl. I just think that's so unfair. And I get the calls at night. There are a lot of people who feel like Kevin Stefanski will be the reason the Falcons don't succeed in 2026. Not only do I not buy that, he's going to be a main contributor as to why they succeed in 2026. You guys are using revisionist history and what have you done for me lately to fuel an argument that this guy shouldn't be the head coach of the Falcons. And I don't buy it for a second. I just don't. Sorry.
Well, look, I'll say this before we get to Day-Day. We have gone through 1, 2, 3 coaches. Arthur Smith.
That's a convenient
narrative. And now
we're going to fix that.
Wait until we get on the grass. and now we get Kevin. I think part of this is fair or unfair, Turtle, is, you know, we didn't go get a guy, and this is also very rare, that had monster success and came from a winning situation, right? That's why the Harbaugh thing was so attractive to everybody.
Well, it came from a winning situation right now.
Correct.
But here's the thing.
But that's why people, not all, but yeah, some people feel that way. Because it's like, look, we've been here. We did this. You gave a first-time guy an opportunity in Arthur Smith. Great. That happens. Offensive coordinators get jobs in this league. Sometimes it pans out. Sometimes it doesn't. Then you go to the experienced guy who everybody said deserves an opportunity in Raw. Didn't work. And now you're going to a guy that's coming from that. That's the perception, whether we like it or not. And so Kevin knows what's going on. I think you and I feel very similar about it. But I also respect the fact that there are people out there going, you're coming from that, and this is what we're going to hire?
I don't respect it.
That doesn't look like that. That's a winning situation.
It's a very myopic way of thinking, Carl.
But it's the truth. That's how people out here who listen to us daily think about this. They've got kids, jobs, two jobs in some cases. They've got all these things going on in life. And you guess what? They're driving home or they're listening to us on the app or however the hell they're listening, and they go, who we hire? Where'd he come from? Kevin Stefanski? The Browns? That is the first impression. So for Kevin, this is an opportunity for him to right the ship and prove people wrong. But I'm not going to be mad at people for the idea that that's the guy we went after, because that is the initial response.
But let me ask you this, though. When was the last time the Falcons brought in a coach, going back to DQ, Smitty, that had the accolades of Kevin Stefanski?
None of them did.
When?
None of them. Mike Smith didn't.
Name one.
Dan Quinn had Reeves? Been. He was a Super Bowl winner, but he was an assistant, right? A DC. He wasn't the head coach. Yeah, I think a lot of times this is who you feel comfortable with. Doesn't always mean it's the right guy. And Ra is a prime example of that. They felt very comfortable with Ra. Great dude. But it wasn't the right choice. Want to remind you, Atlanta's radio home for comprehensive World Cup coverage is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Every night from now through the end of the tournament, join Jason Longshore for a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason will be covering all the major storylines with previews and analysis of every match all the way through the final on July 19th. Guys, it's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer and Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore every night from now until July 19th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dede, man, what is on your mind?
Well, first off, happy Thursday to everyone. Chris, we're going to get back to you because you've already said some things. First day back, man, and you've said some things that I am really, really confused about. This is not who I thought you grew up to be when you were working with Dukes and Bell. So we're going to get to that here.
You too, huh?
In a minute. We didn't get a chance to get to this, Carl, yesterday, but RIP, Peebo Bryson.
I know, man.
How crazy is that? I mean, I know. I think I had heard he had been dealing with some illness.
I saw
but
that.
Unfortunately, Peebo Bryson.
One of the all-time great voices.
Yes. Yes, definitely, and we lose him, so a sad day for the music world. Did you guys hear about this one? So a longtime reporter, Scott Agnes, longtime reporter up in Indianapolis, covers the Pacers and the Fever. Apparently he had got his credential revoked because he put out what the team deemed inaccurate and unsubstantiated information in regards to a Caitlin Clark injury, and that's what they cited as their reason for doing so. Now, mind you, he's like the longest tenured reporter for them, but then he's been in Indianapolis
forever. So he put out a fake injury?
No.
Well, no. He basically, they had been holding her out, but they weren't putting out information.
Okay.
And I guess he says a team source basically told him and I forgot the exact words, but basically,
it was a manipulation. It was a manipulation of injury management.
Yes,
and then the WNBA. This is why the Fever got so PO'd and revoked his credential. The WNBA stepped in and investigated.
Yes,
because of his reporting.
Right. So.
So he did the right thing.
He did the right thing.
And he did his job.
Yeah. And my question to the WNBA or to you guys is, because this isn't the first time we've heard of a reporter, you know, getting their credential revoked. Now, we know the one incident where the guy said whatever he said to Caitlin and he lost his, you know, when he
asked when she originally got drafted, Greg Doyle.
I get that one, whatever. But I just feel like it's dangerous territory for a league that is trying to grow and really, you know, get viewership up, things of that nature, for and get the coverage they feel they deserve. I think they're kind of treading, you know, lightly. They need to tread lightly in regards to, like, do you really want to get so offensive every time a reporter says something about, you know, a player in your league or the league to where now you're revoking credentials? I think that's a little dangerous territory in that. What would you guys say?
Well, look, I think that in a day and age where a lot of teams in sports as whole, NFL, NBA, are trying to control the narrative and have in-house people, which is great. You need independent media to cover teams fairly. And the way that this came down, and I'm just going to use this one example, but there you could go across the board in any sport, because teams are being very careful with the information they're letting out, right? And part of this is when you have multiple independent media covering these teams, you get different perspectives. It's why the larger media markets who have multiple, you know, outlets and multiple websites and multiple radio stations and television stations, sometimes you come across this stuff and it's being reported and the team's like, no, that's not what happened. They're denying it. I think it opens up the door for fair and accurate reporting, mm-hmm. and not just what the team wants. And so for me, being the guy that I am, and that's the school that I came up in, is, hey, you know, you should be allowed to cover these teams and get these stories and report them. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't lose your credentials because the team didn't like it.
Right.
Or the league now is being investigated, or the team is being investigated by the league. To Chris's point, I think you did your job. So I don't like that part of this. But I will tell you, that's where this has been going for a long time. It's been a slippery slope, Chris, mm-hmm. as we've headed this way. And so every team now, for those who don't know, mostly in the NFL, they have their own digital departments. Yep. They have their own folks who are doing stories on the team. Mm-hmm. And that's all great. But you're not going to ever get the real.
Right.
Okay? It's not that they don't do a great job, because I know they do. But you're not going to get the real if you don't have independent reporting that doesn't have those ties to the team that feels like, oh, well, you know what? If I put that story out, I might get fired. Right. You can't work that way.
No. And for those who would like a local reference, Carl, that's the difference between our friend Tori McElhaney, which she does.
Yes.
He works for AtlantaFalcons.com, and Joe Patrick, who works for us here at 92.9 The Game.
Right.
One works for the team, one works for a private entity that covers the team. Now, we also work in partnership here with the team, so there are some, you know, some things there. But for the most part, you know, the Falcons don't here's what we'll say. The Falcons don't call in and say, don't report this.
Don't ever do that.
It's a mutual trust between us and them that we're going to be, Carl, here's the term that we all learned in journalism school,
mm-hmm.
fair and balanced.
Yes, yes.
You need to be fair and balanced. But with Caitlin Clark specifically, Day-Day, I'll say this. This is not the first time this happened.
Mm-mm.
So what you're saying, they're protecting her.
This is not the first time
they're protecting her. Okay.
And there is this thing now where she's kind of been hurt a lot in her WNBA career. And it's, I don't want to say derailing because she's still really good when she plays, but the magnum opus, you know, take over the league. I am here.
She is the Jordan of the WNBA.
I am here to reign over thee. That hasn't happened.
No.
In her WNBA career. And I think the Fever are very aware of that. And that has a lot to do with this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it all goes out. All right. College football. NC State and Virginia. Their week zero matchup that was supposed to take place in Brazil. It's going to be in Charlottesville. Virginia now.
That's a big difference.
Imagine being those college kids. You're 20 years old and I'm like, I'm going to Brazil. Oh, the women, the nightlife, the fun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they've already made the purchase? That's the issue,
too. And it's not cheap. But listen, that's a great – are you telling me college football is going to be doing this now? Is this where we're going with college football?
Well, apparently not.
Well, this was going to be one of the – what kind of – because what? We've had the games over in – we had Notre Dame.
Dublin.
And we've had the game. So we've had a couple international games, but not to this scale. But
– it's usually the season opener.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. But, yeah, according to Wolfpack's statement, extensive review and operational partners – international stakeholders, basically, and it's a group called Athletes Advantage, basically told them the event could not be conducted. So the schools reportedly will still get some money because they were both supposed to get money. But yeah.
So it's now just going to be a home game
just
for?
It's in Charlottesville. Well, I think it's still
a
neutral.
Did they say why? Day-Day? Like, was it?
Yeah, they didn't say why. Athletes Advantage didn't tell them. They just said,
like,
you know.
Did they think they couldn't sell it? Like, what is
that's
what the
they
deal
said
is.
Extensive review and operational partners and international stakeholders made this decision. It sounds like money. It sounds like it probably wasn't making. It wasn't the draw. I mean, come on. Like, NC State and.
NFL. Is one thing, Carl.
Right.
No, I agree. But this is what I'm saying about this is where we're going now. You know, the Georgia Tech game from a couple of years ago, right?
Georgia Tech, Florida State.
Yeah. Which was great. But I'm saying, like, to your point about Brazil, are we going to see Spain? Are they going now to London? That's what I'm saying. Are we going to see that thing now transpire in college football?
I think if you do, it's going to have to be the name brands. It's going to have to be, you know, Alabama and Michigan.
Yes, but those are the games we're getting away from. Right?
Oh, that's the problem. Yeah.
Teams don't want to play 10 Power 4 games now.
Yeah, and let's just be honest. Come on, NC State and Virginia and Brazil, that's not a trip that I'm like, woo!
Wait, Carl, you didn't hear the SEC's playing 9 games this year?
Yes, exactly.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, no,
I didn't hear.
I've heard that, yeah, and nobody wants to play 10 Power 4.
Everybody right. To the town square, the SEC is playing 9 games this year.
All right, last one here for you. Chris, back to you, sir.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, and Chris, you really feel like this team.
He wants a whole new team.
He wants all. You really, it really does almost sound like.
Am I lying?
No, you literally named like 4 positions.
It was 3. It was left field.
You wanted a pitcher, a bullpen guy, a shortstop, a left fielder.
You can get
that's what you
those.
Wanted.
And a manager. He's already won a manager.
No. I gave Walt Weiss a lot of love.
You did.
Here's what I'll say, though. 1, Alex Anthopoulos has by far proven that we have to trust his decision-making. He's proven that over and over again, and he's even proven it with this year. We're sitting at 42-20, and he didn't go crazy to make any moves despite the injuries we kicked off the season with. And then, Chris, shame on you. How dare you say the Dodgers go do it, the Phillies go do it. How are those teams doing in comparison to the Braves right now? The Mets go do it.
Well, that's not the point.
The point
is that those teams are willing to go all
in. They're willing to do it, but Alex Anthopoulos is showing you he doesn't have to do that.
The last time I checked, the Dodgers are the 2-time defending World Series champions.
Okay, well, we're not talking about them anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, do I have a point here or not?
The Phillies and the Mets. Let's just focus on them.
Okay, the Philly, need I mind you, the last 2 times the Braves were in the NLDS Day-Day, who kicked our ever-loving tails in
okay,
both
but
series.
We're not living in the past. You're living in the past.
He's got an answer for everything.
Wait a minute. Who kicked our tails?
The Phillies. The last 2 times were in the NLDS.
Oh, I don't remember that. They kicked our butts.
Stop living in the past.
You're right.
And then the Padres kicked our butts in the wild card. You know why? Because we didn't go all in.
You know what, Chris?
That was too emotional.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
Do you guys remember Max Fried throwing up in the dugout in that series because he was sick as a dog?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You remember Strider coming off an injury?
I do remember that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
Those things did happen.
Yeah. They did happen. Thanks.
It doesn't, though, take away from you wanting an entire new roster.
A whole new team. And Alex, we trust around here, Chris.
I trust him. I just know that for the first time, AA has a chance to do something this team has never done. Take yourself from the best team in baseball to the overwhelming favorite.
They are the overwhelming favorite. We're 22 games above 500. We have a better record than the Dodgers. Better record than the Phillies.
I bet you.
Better record than the Yankees.
I bet you. And if the NLCS started tomorrow, I bet you the Dodgers would be favored.
We haven't even had our best players play their best baseball, Chris.
Are you going to? It's June already, guys.
It's June and they're 42-20.
Okay, but they're 60-something games into the season already. Is Riley going to hit or not?
Are you taking shots at Riley?
Is Acuna going to be consistent or not?
Wait a minute. Keep Acuna for life out of your mouth.
He had one good weekend, and people are acting like he's going to go 40-70
again. One good weekend?
Yeah, he had one good weekend. Look. What has he done since?
Oh, my God.
That was too emotional.
Too emotional, Chris. That's what's on my mind.
What has Acuna done since that series?
Good stuff. Yeah, we'll get into that. We gotta dive back into this. Speaking of that, Grant's on the way in the 5 o'clock hour, but when we come back, Big Ten, SEC have distanced themselves from the rest of the college sports pack. Why? It's Dukes and Bell.